Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Wow, it's hot up here. Is it hot in here? Or is it just me? Yes, a lot of answers coming back. It's cold, it's hot, it's warm, it's fine. Wow, what a time we've been having today. Psalm 77. And let me, before we read our foundation scripture here, let me just talk about a few things concerning miracles on the mountain. This coming Thursday and Friday, February 27th, 28th, in the morning time, Thursday morning, I'll be teaching a healing class, and we'll have the opportunity for the laying on of hands for anyone who comes to the morning session. It's a teaching session, but there'll be demonstrations of the healing power of God. And then on Friday morning, Pastor Terry will be teaching the healing class, and the Lord will be leading her as well in terms of ministry and so forth. And Billy Burke will be here for the two evening services that they have. And so we have here. And so I want to, first of all, I want you all to come. I want you to come. Everybody come to Miracles on the Mountain. I want this place packed, overflowing. It really is going to be something. And then I want you to invite somebody. I want you to invite somebody. You know, people are looking for the supernatural. Don't underestimate the hunger that people have for God and for the supernatural. And it would be great for you to invite somebody that you work with, somebody to bring someone who maybe doesn't even go to church. And you can ask them, have you ever seen a miracle? Have you ever seen a miracle? Well, I've seen a beautiful sunset. No, I'm talking about somebody getting out of a wheelchair or something happened. Or have you ever seen a miracle that God has done? And bring them. Bring them. I dare you. I double dog dare you to bring somebody to church next week to be a part of this. And the great thing about this as well, it'll be on the Victory Channel. So we're going to be going live all around the world with the healing power of God. That's exciting. So what will happen at Miracles on the Mountain? Somebody who's never been here before. Is there anybody that's never been to one of our Miracles on the Mountain? Raise your hand, raise it up. We've got lots of hands in here, lots of hands. So what happens at Miracles on the Mountain? Well, we've been doing this for quite a number of years. I mean, it goes back into the early 2000s that we started. And I remember on the first one, it was Big John Hall who called me and said, I have a friend of mine named Billy Burke, and he operates so proficiently in the working of miracles, you really need to have him at your church. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, okay, we'll have him come. And so we booked him for a certain Wednesday night that year. And so Terry and I were actually sitting on the back porch one day. I went and I got the mail, and when I came back, we sat down together. I was looking through the mail, and there's a card, a Billy Burke card advertising the meeting. I'd never seen Billy Burke before. Billy, I'd never seen you before. And so his hair was blonde, his suit was white, shirt, tie, his shoes were white, and I said to myself, uh-oh. Really, I was like, oh my, what have I done? What have I done? Really, Billy, I'm sorry to say that, But I just thought to myself, oh my goodness, what have I done? And I actually, sorry to say, but we sat there for just a couple of minutes. I basically talked about, how can I get out of this? Is there any way? I'm being honest with you about this. I just thought, how can I get out of this? And I said, I can't. I've made the commitment. He's coming. And so he came on that Wednesday night. And we had our music. I did the preliminaries. And then I introduced Billy Burke. And I'll tell you, the atmosphere was thick with the glory of God. I was sitting right down there where Pastor Greg is sitting right now. And I sat there and watched Billy Burke. He preached a little bit. And all of a sudden, a person came up. They came up out of the office. How many of you were here on the first Miracles on the Mountain? You know what I'm talking about. There was a lady that came up here right in the middle of his message. He's preaching. He's preaching. I wanted to get up and stop her. That's what we do around here. And I just watched this lady come up here, and she stood there, and he walked over to her, and he said, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I've had this issue. Well, what issue is that? She said, well, I've got neck pain. I've had neck pain. He said, well, how's it now? And she said, well, it's pretty painful. And he said, well, how's it now? And she went, well, it's... it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. And then what happened from there? The next one came up. And then the next one came up. And then the next one came up. And the next one came up. And all of a sudden, this place is full of people. And Billy Burke is going back and forth. And he's ministering to this one. And what we were seeing that night was miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And I sat there in my chair and I just watched it over and over and over again. I'd never seen anything quite like it before. And I watched this and just sat there. And you know, sometimes when you're in a church service, you look at a watch. That's why I don't wear one. Anyway, you look at a watch and to see what time it is or whatever. I never looked at my watch. We got out of there at 1 a.m. Now that was, we haven't done that since then. But we got out of there at 1 a.m. And you know, I didn't want to leave. There really is something about the demonstration of the working of miracles in a service that it's just captivating. It's captivating. And so that was my very first experience with Billy Burke in a service. And then from that point on, we just kept inviting him back and inviting him back. It's refreshing. It is so refreshing to be able to come into this place. When you walk in, there will be an air of expectancy. And you will look around and you'll see people that you didn't know. That's right. You'll see people because what happens is I'll sit there and I'm surveying and watching all of this. And I see people lined up and so forth. And I think, well, that one goes to our church, but that one doesn't. And then I go down through the line trying to recognize people. And what we have here is we have people that are covertly sneaking in. They heard about the meeting and they heard about miracles and they have left the Baptist church that they go to or the Presbyterian or the Methodist church or maybe even a Word of Faith church that they go to. And they want to come and experience and see miracles. They want to see miracles. And many of them that come, I remember, I believe it was the very first time that Billy Burke came, there was a man that came in bib overalls. Bib overalls. I don't think he had a shirt. Bib overalls. And he looked like, I mean, he was rather large. And anyway, he came up here for his healing. And the man got healed. He got healed right over here, standing right over there. He got healed. And Billy Burke looked at him. And he said, what? He said, where do you live? And he was like far off in a place of Texas I'd never heard of before. He said, where do you go to church? And he was real hesitant about telling him. And he said, where do you go to church? And it was something like St. Mary's Catholic Church. So you're going to see people in here from all different. This really is a blending of denominations. Miracles are really something. They really bring people together. It really doesn't matter what church you go to or what denomination you might be in. When the miracle power of God is working in a place, everybody's all together and they're really cheering and rooting these people on. They're really cheering them on. And we've seen it over and over again. Eyes being able to see. People that have been bent over being able to stand up and watching this demonstration. And Billy Burke, he's very proficient, and I know it's the power of the Holy Ghost on him, but he's very proficient in the operation, in the working of miracles. So what you'll see is as we begin the service, as I said before, we're going to have some great music at the beginning, and then I'll come up, I'll do some preliminaries, we'll receive our offering. After we receive our offering, we'll sing a song, and I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Billy Burke? And he'll come up here and we'll start singing, Nothing is Impossible. Nothing is impossible. And you know, there's those songs, of course, he was trained by Catherine Kuhlman, healed at 9 years old in a Catherine Kuhlman meeting, blind in one eye, cancerous tumor. They told him he was going to die. They took him out. Grandmother took him out of the hospital and brought him to the Catherine Kuhlman meeting. Catherine Kuhlman was a woman that was back in the 40s, 50s, 60s into the 70s that really did operate in the working of miracles. I was able to see her television program when I was about 19. Then I went to one of her meetings. And then Catherine Kuhlman, one of her last sermons, if not her last sermon, Pastor Terry and I heard at Oral Roberts University in 1975. She passed away that February of 1976. But Billy Burke was raised. He was raised up in that and raised up in that presence and seeing those miracles take place and seeing how the Spirit of God is moving and the atmosphere that is in the place. It is just, it's charged with the glory of God. It's charged with the presence of God. And what you're going to see in this Miracles on the Mountain, you will see miracle after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle. So what I want to talk to you about today is, what exactly is a miracle? Let's talk about that. Let's visit about that. Psalm 77, verse 13, the New King James Version says, "Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders." Now that word wonders is also translated miracles. "You are the God who does miracles. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." In verse 14 of the NIV translation, this is where we get a definition, because there are many different definitions of the word miracle, and I just want to focus in on one. Just one today. It says in the NIV translation of verse 14, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." So we can say, as a definition, a miracle is the power of God on display for all to see. A miracle is the power of God on display for all to see. When we see what's taking place here, when we see what's going on, when we see these eyes open and arms moving and all of the different things that are taking place, what are we seeing? We're seeing a miracle. What is a miracle? It is the power, the dunamis power of God on display and for all to see. All to see. Miracles are not just for the deliverance of the individual. No, God uses those miracles. Miracles get the attention of unbelievers. That's why I'm saying to you, bring somebody that doesn't go to church. Bring somebody that doesn't even know Jesus. "Hey, I'm going to a place where we're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle. Would you come with me?" "Oh, okay." And they'll come and they'll sit there, and it's better than any Academy Award winning movie that you have ever seen. I'd rather see that than any kind of entertainment that's out there, because it really is kind of entertaining in itself. God is not dull. He's got a lot of personality. And the thing I enjoy so much about Billy Burke is just the way he talks to people. He just talks to people, and it's so easy. It's flowing. He's under the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what he does. That's who he is. He just his nature and the way he talks to people and will stand there and study them. I mean, I've watched this over and over. I have studied him. I have studied him and love the way and appreciate the way he ministers. He takes time with people. And I just love the way we'll have a chatty Kathy up there just starting to go on and on and on. He'll just interrupt her. He just knows how to handle those situations, and really it's proficiently, and it's over and over and over again. And you and I have the benefit of seeing the power of God on display. Say, "The power of God, on display." It doesn't just get the attention of unbelievers. Miracles wake up people to the fact that there is a God. It's a wake-up call. Miracles are wake-up calls to what God has done and what he is doing. In Exodus chapter 34, turn over there, Exodus chapter 34. You'll see something in that verse that we so have prayed over and believe God for and are receiving here at this church and receiving it in the body of Christ. Because I remember when I was in South Africa in 2014, and we had been preaching in South Africa, we came to the last part of our meetings, and it was a pastor's meeting, minister's meeting. And I was up the night before very late. Pastor Terry had already gone to bed. I was up very late. I had a stack of all my pastor minister messages, and I kept going through them, and then nothing was clicking. Nothing was working. And I finally said to the Lord, I said, "What do you want me to preach to these people tomorrow?" He said, and he said it like this, "Tell them I want my church back. I want signs and wonders and miracles and demonstrations of my spirit back in the church again. I don't want them relegated to the back room somewhere. I want them out where they can be seen." So it's my heart and my desire that we see that he gets his church back, and whatever the Holy Spirit wants, I said, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. You've got to know that when I spend my days praying over these services that we have, I'm going before the Lord and I'm saying to him, "What do you want to say and what do you want to do?" If the music happens to go a little bit longer, I'm standing there, I'm watching it. David's looking at me, he's checking with me, and I'm like, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. I love the flow of the Holy Ghost. I love the flow of the Holy Ghost. Whether he wants us to be teaching for 2 hours or seeing, calling out things by the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit in operation, whatever, there is a wide palette that the Holy Spirit has, a wide palette of colors. Coming from an artist's standpoint, if you're trying to do a painting and you only have 3 colors, you're very limited in what you can do, especially if you're trying to paint a landscape. But you have a whole array of colors. Have you ever opened up one of those oil paint kits? I mean the huge ones that they have at Hobby Lobby. I bought one for my grandson, Justice, because he was showing acumen in painting. And so I bought him one of these, and I bought him kind of a medium size, but they had him big and just colors everywhere. Well, the Holy Spirit has colors. He's got all kinds of colors. And you know what? He's got colors that you've never seen before. He's got colors that I have never witnessed before. What I'm saying is that there are manifestations and moves of the Spirit that we've never seen before. There's a message that I've been listening to from Brother Hagin. It's called The Strong Anointing. And it just came up on my YouTube, so I started watching it because I'd never seen it before. And he goes through and he talks about all the different manifestations of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit manifests himself, from people falling over to people laughing to joy to manifestations of the healing power of God. It's a wide array. So we've limited the Holy Spirit in our services. And my heart is, let's not limit the Holy Spirit. What does he want to do? How does he want to move? So in Exodus 34, it says in verse 10 in the New Living Translation, "I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people." New Living Translation, "I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation." That's a powerful statement. I'll perform miracles that you've never seen before. I'll perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And listen to this. "And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you." So there it is again. There it is again. Say this after me. Miracles are God's power on display. Now, miracles were on display in the early church. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We see that the book of Acts is packed full of miraculous demonstrations that took place over and over and over again. Notable miracles. Things that were taking place that had been seen in Jesus' ministry. And then Jesus said to his disciples, he told them in Mark 16, he told them, let me turn to it really quick. I'll read it to you. In Mark 16, it says, he said to them in verse 20, they went forth. I mean, he talked about go preach. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs or these miracles, that's the word, miracles, shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. Miracles are happening right now. Up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And listen to this. They went forth, they preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs or miracles following. That was what they did. That is what they did. You'll notice that the word them is in italics. What he's saying here, the Lord was working with, they went forth, they preached the word, and then the Lord worked with the word and confirmed the word with miracles that were following. So that's what they were sent out to do. And so miracles were on display in the early church in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we see in verse 12, I'm going to read this to you from the NIV translation. You can read in your Bible. In verse 12, it says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Many. Many miraculous signs and wonders were among the people. And in verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Listen to this. Crowds gathered. Crowds gathered. Crowds gathered. Say, crowds gathered. So, something's going on. Something's happening. There's a stir. And I mean, this is what God has miracles for. It's for crowd gathering. Miracles are for crowd gathering. Why? They're a display of his power. Miracles are the display of the power of God. So crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem. It was bringing them in. It was bringing them to, oh, I heard about that. You heard about this? Yeah, I heard about this. You heard about that man that got healed? Yeah, I heard about that man that got healed. I want to go see that. I want to go see that. As a 20-year-old, I would, with my roommates back in Massachusetts, before we go to our little Baptist church. See, we're all saved at that time. We're hungry for God. And all of us in the house, we'd sit and we'd watch two programs before we would go to church. We would watch Catherine Kuhlman, and then we would watch Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts had a program called Oral Roberts and You. The flyover of the university is what really drew me to go there and to meet my future wife and my future. That's what happened when I went to ORU. And Catherine Kuhlman, we listened to her on the radio. We listened to her on the radio every day. She had a 15-minute program on the radio. And I'd listen to her. I believe in miracles. And you know, when I first got saved and I first started listening, I started making fun of her. And this could be, Terry, this could have been the first word that I ever got from the Lord directly. He said, stop making fun of Catherine Kuhlman. Who? Boy, did I turn that around. And I listened very carefully because I was hungry. I was newly born again and I was hungry. And when we found out that Catherine Kuhlman was coming to the Rhode Island Coliseum, we went to and the Rhode Island Coliseum is about an hour from where we were. And I asked our pastor, I said, can we get a bus and take a group of people to the Catherine Kuhlman meeting? And my Baptist pastor said, yes. He said, yes. And he didn't go with us. This was on a Saturday. I think he was preparing for his message, but he let the rest of us go. And we went, it was the most exciting thing because I had never been, I've been going to believers' conventions for a long time. And we've had a lot of people coming to those convention centers, but I have never been, at that time, I had never been to a coliseum where everybody gathered because of the healing and miracles. It was new for me. It was exciting. It was so exciting. And when we got there, there were people everywhere, people in the hallways, they were running and endeavoring to get their seats. And this was very, really precious to me because there was a music teacher that I had, Mr. Montessori. And Mr. Montessori, he was in my junior year in high school. We had him as our music teacher. Everybody loved him. And the next year he was gone. Ooh, he moved on. Mom moved on to another place. Anyway, this is a few years after I graduated. I'm going through this hallway. We're trying to make our way. And all of a sudden, I bumped into him. There he is. And we were like, oh my gosh, you love God? Yes! We hugged. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And then Catherine Kuhlman had this huge choir that was up there, and they began singing. And there was such a presence that came into the room. It was so thick. And then Dino was at the piano, and Jimmy McDonald sang. And then Catherine Kuhlman came out, and the music played, and she just, oh, it was just really something to behold. And all of a sudden, she starts calling out people. This one, that one, the other one. They're coming up there, healed, delivered, set free. That atmosphere. The healing and miracle atmosphere. And there were a lot of people there, a lot of people there that were just really babies in the Lord, or maybe didn't know the Lord at all. But they heard. They heard. The place was packed out. Absolutely packed out. What is it? There's a miracle that's going to take place. A miracle is basically a word for hope. Hope. Hope that I can get free from this thing. Hope that I can be delivered from it. And people will go to that. And I went to it. I went to it. And David, I came away from that meeting and I found it. It's in a notebook that I have. I keep all my stuff from Massachusetts in a notebook. But there's an arrangement that I wrote for church, our Baptist church. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. I heard all those songs at that Catherine Kuhlman meeting, all those contemporary songs of that day, and I brought them back to my Baptist church, and my pastor let us sing them. Hallelujah. The point that I'm making here is the mere fact that us 20 years old and some of the people in the church, when we heard that there was a place, that there were going to be miracles and healings, we wanted to go see. We wanted to go see. How many of you are still that hungry? How many of you still hungry to see the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and the power of God? I believe we're going to see that this year in all of the victory campaigns and conventions that we have. Miracles! Miracles, the gifts of healings, working of miracles taking place. Oh, we've seen it. We saw it last year. I was right down there on the floor with Kenneth and Gloria. And there's a lady that could not see. She could not see. Brother and Sister Copeland went up to her, laid hands on her, ministered to her, backed off, ministered to a couple of people, went back to her. She's sitting there and she looked totally different. That's what a miracle will do. It'll make you look totally different. It'll make you look like somebody you weren't before. Your whole countenance changes. And she's sitting there and she's got her eyes up, sitting up. She was like this, dark glasses, bent over. We go back to her. She's sitting up. She's looking. And Brother Copeland says, what do you say? What do you see? And Brother Copeland, the lady says, you. I see you. Praise God for miracles. Oh, my goodness. And so we had a hunger. People have a hunger. Let me read this to you. I printed this out this morning. This was something that the Lord led me to get. Brother Hagin did a teaching on man and miracles. Man and miracles. And listen to what he said. People have a deep-seated desire for the miraculous demonstration of God's power and glory. I didn't say believers have a deep-seated desire. It said people. People. Born again or not, people have a deep-seated desire for the miraculous demonstration of God's power and glory. That is because mankind was created in the image of a supernatural miracle-working God. Mankind yearns to see the miracle-working power of God in demonstration. So that's what we see here in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And I'm looking at verses 5 through 8, this is the NIV translation. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing to them. Again, he's following the pattern of Mark 16. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs and miracles following. So Philip went and preached the anointed one and his anointed to them. And it says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded or listened. They listened. Listen. Listen to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The miracles which he did. God will work through an individual by the power of the Holy Spirit to work with people to see them delivered and set free. Say, God works through me.
God works through me.
So here, Philip, they're seeing the things that were done. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Listen to this. And there was great joy in that city. Why? Why was there great joy in that city? Well, they were seeing miracles. They were seeing deliverance. They were seeing people set free. There was great joy in the city. So we see that it's an awakening. It helps in the awakening to see these manifestations take place. Look at Acts 28. Acts 28. We see here the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was on the island of Melita. That's where that snake came up, bit him. He shook off the beast into the fire. And then it says in verse 28:8, and it happened that the father of Publius was the one who was over the whole island. Well, the father of Publius was sick in bed with recurring attacks of fever and dysentery. This is the Amplified translation. He was sick in bed with recurring attacks of fever and dysentery. And Paul went to see him. After praying and laying his hands on him, he healed him. He healed him. And we all understand, we all know it's God working through us. But I just think it's interesting that it said he healed him. He healed him. After this had occurred, the other people on the island who had diseases also kept coming and were cured. See, it was the dinner bell. Miracles are the dinner bell. Healing is the dinner bell for people to come in. That's why I'm encouraging you. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. They don't normally go to church. Bring a friend. They don't know the Lord. Maybe you've been witnessing to them. Maybe you've been talking to them. Say, I want you to come and see something. This is going to be amazing. You're going to be really amazed. You'll sit there and watch this take place. And the Holy Spirit will make absolutely sure that that person that comes is not bored at all. There really is no boring moment in a Billy Burke meeting. Trust me. There's no, okay, everybody, just take a break, lay back for a minute. No, there's none of that whatsoever. Because once you step into the meeting and step into that atmosphere, and then once you step into the healing anointing, whew, there we go. There we go. That's one of the most exciting things I've seen. It really is. Say this after me. Miracles,
miracles
are God's power,
on display.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk to you for a moment about the working of miracles. The working of miracles. We've seen it over the years in different ministries. One that I remember with Oral Roberts. And those of you who are not familiar with Oral Roberts, he was back during the 40s, the late 40s into the 50s, really 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, until he went to be with the Lord in, I forgot what year, 2000 something. But the healing ministry, And I go back and I watch on YouTube the Oral Roberts meetings that he has, these programs that they had, the half hour programs back in the 50s. And they'll do a sampler during the program. They'll show you different miracles that take place. And it really is something to watch the working of miracles. I was watching one this morning. This morning. I was watching this particular one. and it was 1955, 56. He's up there on the platform, and this lady brings her little son, little six-year-old son. He's been struggling with a spinal situation ever since he was born. Couldn't walk, had a hard time walking. And so Oral Roberts took him up in his arms and just allowed that power of God to flow through him. And the little boy, you could tell that he was being affected. His eyes were going like this. The power of God was going through him. The miracle was being worked. And so Oral Roberts, and these are all part of the working of miracles, but he set him down. He set him down on the platform, and then Oral Roberts backed up and said, "Come to me." And the little boy walked. He walked. He came down off of the platform onto the floor. And there's a ramp that goes up. So Oral Roberts had the boy stand there, and the boy started to follow him, and Oral Roberts went faster and faster and faster and faster, and the boy started to run. He ran, and then jumped into his arms. Oh, it was something comes over me when I see children. When I see children being healed, when I see children being delivered, I hate the devil. I hate the devil and sickness anyway. But when it comes to little children, I just double hate the devil where that is concerned. And to see a child being set free, and that boy, he was beaming, I mean, cheek to cheek, just smiling as big as he could. And seeing the working, but what I was observing was the working of the miracle. Everything from what Oral Roberts was doing and laying hands on him and going on the platform, that's being led by the Holy Spirit. That's being led by the Holy Ghost. And it says in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 12, these are the gifts of the Spirit, or the manifestations of the Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. The working of miracles is what you will see on Thursday night and Friday night, the working of miracles. And we'll see it here today. We'll see it here today. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, the different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Some of these are the color sphere of the Holy Spirit, of how he wants to demonstrate and show himself. Pastor Terry has a message that she put together, and there are how many manifestations of the Spirit that you have in your list? Hundreds. She's looked up scriptures. It's quite a beautiful palette that the Holy Ghost has for us. But the working of miracles we see here, and let me just read this to you, in Acts 6:8 in the Amplified. Now Stephen, full of grace, divine blessing and favor, and power, strength and ability, worked great wonders and signs and miracles among the people. You see that word there, worked. Worked. You'll see Billy Burke work the miracle, the things that he says, the things that he does. And this is what he does. This is what he's focused on ever since he was a teenager. This has been his life. The working of those miracles. He's focused on one thing, and that is to see people made well. To see them made well. So he worked the miracle. Then this one, Acts 3:7, you actually see a demonstration of the working of a miracle. It says, he, Peter, took him, the lame man from his mother's womb, by the right hand and lifted him up. He lifted him up. This was the guy at the gate that had been there and was begging. And he wasn't able to stand up and he couldn't walk. And Peter, being moved by the Spirit in the working of miracles, he took him and he pulled him up. He didn't say, "Can you get up?" No. He was led to took his hand down there, take the guy's hand, and he pulled him up. If you could look at it in slow motion, as he pulled him up, that miracle was working on the inside of him. That power of God was surging through him. So he lifted him up by the right hand, and immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Say, miracles are God's power on display. Say it with me. Miracles are God's power on display. Let me read something to you about the working of miracles. Is the working of miracles, and I know the answer I'm going to get on this one, but are miracles for today?
Yes.
Are miracles, well, you don't get that kind of an answer in a lot of places. There's a question mark that comes with it. Well, maybe. Well, we haven't really seen one. Well, they ended with the apostles. They ended with Jesus. There's all kinds of the ways that they're trying to get out of having a miracle. So what about miracles in the 21st century? Should we really be seeing more miracles in the 21st century? Don't you think we should be growing from the book of Acts? Well, I was reading this of Brother Hagin this morning, and he writes this. He said, many churches have backed off from the supernatural workings of God. This is true even of churches that used to believe and operate regularly in the supernatural. As a result, the supernatural has waned in those churches and the miraculous is no longer in manifestation. When churches keep the Holy Ghost from having His way in their services, they eventually become cold and dead spiritually. We don't want to do that, do we? No. No. When any body of believers denies the supernatural, they begin following a dead religion of ethics instead of experiencing a supernatural relationship with a miracle-working God. In Jesus' day, people were drawn to Him because He was a miracle worker. If ministers today would preach the anointed word and allow Jesus to work miracles in their midst, people would be drawn to come and witness the supernatural power of God. As a young preacher, I heard Raymond T. Ritchie preach at the Texas District Council meetings of the Assemblies of God. He often said, divine healing is the dinner bell. Keep ringing that bell and the people will come. I went back to my church, which had a congregation of less than 100, and began ringing the dinner bell every Saturday night. I preached what the Word of God said about the power of the gospel to save, deliver, and heal. For 6 months, nothing happened, but then we hit a gusher. The insane were delivered. The paralyzed were healed. People were raised up from deathbeds. And people from several neighboring counties came and filled the building every Saturday night. I kept ringing the dinner bell, and God was faithful to manifest His supernatural delivering power. Jesus is as much a miracle worker today as He ever was. He has not changed. And man needs the miraculous power of God today just as much as he ever did. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He's not changed. If He healed people when He walked upon the earth, He heals today. If He worked miracles then, He works miracles today. Amen.
Amen.
It was in 1998, during the 30 Days of Glory meeting that we had here, that Pastor Mark Brzee came to the platform and began to deliver a word. He was delivering word over this church. Let me read it to you. The church has yet to see her finest hour. Signs and wonders shall be the calling cards of the church in these last days. Miracles will be on every hand. The supernatural will be the natural. There will be a move of God that will make everything in the book of Acts look like the beginning and not the end. The book of Acts is the pattern for the church, not just the history of the church. Now listen to this. Changes in the very complexion of the church are coming. Changes. Is this not the year of great change? Changes in the very complexion of the church are coming. A church with the restoration of the supernatural is what will take place in the coming years. Creative miracles will be commonplace. I love that. Creative miracles will take place by His power and by His grace. Limbs will grow where there were no limbs. Organs will be replaced where medical science had to remove them. There will be people brought in from state institutions. The glory shall come in and hover over their heads. Suddenly, they will shake their heads and wonder where they have been the last 20 years. They will be brought back instantly by the finger of God. The day is coming when doctors will send their patients to the churches. Say, miracles are God's power on display. At the end of last year's Miracles on the Mountain, the evening service, so much had taken place, so much had happened. You can kind of tell when the end of the service is beginning to wane, maybe you're getting a little bit tired. You're thinking to yourself, well, we're slowing down here. But that doesn't seem to be the way around here. We've had several like this. And there was one last year at the end of the service. And this young man walked up. It's the same thing with Joan Green when she came in. Hey, I saw her too. I saw her when you guys wheeled her through the back. I was watching that. And I saw her hands like this and her head down like that. And I went, that she was the last one of the night. And I thought, wow, wow. Well, the same thing happened last year. And there was a young man that was brought to the front by his great aunt. And he had this, I had to look at him several times, because he had this black leather strap around his head. Kind of looked Jewish a little bit. But then I looked closer and there were no ears, just smooth. And she brought him up there. This is the last person. This is the we're at the end of the service. Teenager. And he told Billy Burke, he said, I can't hear without this special hearing aid. And he came up and he said, I want a creative miracle. I want a creative miracle. And so I want you to see what happened on March 30th, 2019, when Hayden Blevin came up to the altar.
What's going on here?
I believe in a creative miracle.
What's the matter?
I believe the Lord will give me wonderful ears.
Okay, so you have no appendages?
No.
He has his ears on the inside?
Yes.
Okay, so he can hear?
Yes.
And what's this device right here?
It's a hearing aid.
It's a hearing aid.
Helps him.
So if that's...
I'm hard of hearing. I was born hard of hearing.
Hard of hearing. So if you take that off, then what?
It'll be quiet.
You won't have any hearing?
Well, I can hear a little.
Okay. So what do we want to do tonight? We want to grow new appendages. Okay. All right. And we want to hear better?
Yes.
Without that?
Yeah.
Would that be great?
Yes.
So how about if we got rid of that, you can hear great, and then the ears grow back. Do we want to take this off, Hayden?
Yes.
Take it off. There we go. I've never seen one quite like that. That's interesting. There we go. You want to hold this and give it to your great aunt? Can you hear me?
A little.
What do you mean a little, when you say a little?
Hello.
Can you say hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hayden.
Okay, you didn't hear me. That's what I wanted to know. He touched me. Oh, hey. And oh. I'm going to put my hand, I'm going to pop open. Something happened. Part of the Holy Ghost. Hold the power. I break that demon. I break that spirit of deaf and dumb. He knows. He trusts me. And me.
I'm so thankful I can hear now.
It changed my life. And I'm so happy, and I feel more free because I don't have to use a hearing aid anymore. I can just hear.
Hey, you can hear me, Hayden.
Yes, sir.